seal out drafts, dust, and moisture with MD brand weather stripping from Menards. A well-sealed home is more comfortable and energy efficient. We have the largest selection of in-stock weather stripping with over 100 products available to take home and start lowering your energy bills today. Save big money on weather stripping right now at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards. There's still time to save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Create stunning patios and strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast with our easy-to-use design and buy program in-store or on Menards.com. Don't miss out. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date is May 23rd. We've hit it, folks. The double nickel, episode 55 of the Betting Above the Rim podcast. We can't thank you enough for listening to this as we have gotten started this podcast basically in October, and now we're all the way almost to the NBA season. In today's podcast, we're going to go through four topics. Number one, JB Bickerstaff fired earlier today from the Cleveland Cavaliers. What does that mean moving forward? We'll talk more about the roster that's in place, and I'll give you the guy that I would hire to coach the Cleveland Cavaliers. Next, after a thrilling win in which Dallas seized home court, we will preview game number two of the Western Conference Finals between the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Next, we head to the W. And while we talk about the big names of Asia Wilson, of Breanna Stewart, of Alyssa Thomas, I'm going to give you a sneaky pick that you should be looking at the MVP market and a team with one of the best coaches in the WNBA, how this team can make a sneaky run to a playoffs. I'll give it away once we get there. And lastly, after the lottery is settled and we go through everything, I'm going to give you right now my top five mock draft. Remember, this top five is not based on what everybody's saying. I'm looking at it from a coach's perspective. Who would I draft if I was the GM of these teams in the top five? And let's get started with JB Bickerstaff being let go earlier today, as agent Wojnarowski reported that JB Bickerstaff, that led the Cleveland Cavs to the conference semifinals and 99 wins in the last two regular seasons, has been let go. And honestly, folks, this is not a stunning move, in my opinion. I was expecting it. In fact, I could say, what took so long to get rid of JB Bickerstaff? And that's not a knock on JB, because he has done a really good job of taking this Cleveland Cavalier team and really stepping them up and making them a much better franchise. But when you get to a point, folks, is sometimes you have to let go of the coach to allow the organization to move forward. And you look at a JB Bickerstaff and what he has done with Cleveland as the head coach for five seasons. You look at JB Bickerstaff, a team that missed the playoffs his first 2 years. Year number three, right? They go 44-38. They were playing really good basketball. They were the seventh seed. And if you remember, they lost two games and did not get into the playoffs. Then 22-23. They get Donovan Mitchell. They up their win total from 44 to 51, right? Second in the Central. They get Donovan Mitchell. And then they go and they play New York and they get absolutely bullyballed 4-1, in which I thought that Tom Thibodeau ran circles around JB. So what happens? The pressure's on JB now, right? Because you got Donovan Mitchell. And remember, folks, he can leave after next year. So what happens this year? 48-34, second in the Central again. They get by the first round. And think about this, folks. And I want people to understand why I just didn't like this. Cleveland could have been a 2 or a 3 seed. They tanked the last regular season game so they could play Orlando. It wasn't even about a run to maybe the conference finals or winning an NBA championship. It was, let's get the best first round matchup for us so that we can give ourselves a chance to get out of the first round. That was the low hanging fruit. And what happens? They go 7 games with Orlando, which I expected. A series in which Jared Allen, the starting center, doesn't even suit up in a game 7 for the bruised ribs. And then we go on to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're tied 1 game piece. They go down 2-1. Uh-oh, Donovan Mitchell, out. Doesn't play the last 2 games. They're down 3-1. Uh-oh, Caris LeVert, he's out in the elimination game. And Darius Garland, the other star, if you want to call him that, in the backcourt, shoots 1 of 8 in the second half of an elimination game. I know we got the assist. I know Evan Mobley went off. But your best score goes 1 for 8. Let me tell you something, folks. They tuned themselves out to J.B. Bickerstaff. J.B. Bickerstaff could not come back to this locker room. When you looked at what happened in New York, with OG Anunoby, who couldn't even walk, play and try to play a game 7, a Josh Hart that had no business on the floor in a game 7, playing with the abdominal injury, a Julius Randle who tried to play with a shoulder injury for a couple of months and was forced out and was trying to get back for the playoffs, a Mitchell Robinson that shouldn't have came back and came back way too early from the ankle injury to go back out. See, that's a guy in Tom Thibodeau that has the respect of his players. J.B. Bickerstaff did not. And it's not a fair business, folks. Players run the locker room. They run the locker room in the NBA. Folks, they run the locker room in college. If you don't win enough in college basketball, the kids can turn south on you in any minute. And once the players turn on you, you never get them back. So now it sets up an interesting offseason because Domino 1 is just dropped for Cleveland. Domino 2 is now going to be who's going to be the next head coach. I'll get to that in a minute. Domino number 3, Garland or Spider? Because you can't have both. And I've told people, a 2-guard, small guard backcourt does not win in the league. So now you got to make a choice. And it's going to be basically based on what Donovan Mitchell does. Does he come back and say, yeah, I'll sign an extension? Which means Garland gets moved. And don't worry, Darius Garland. I know Clutch Sports and Rich Paul are saying, if Donovan comes back, you want to get moved. Don't worry, player. If Donovan Mitchell comes back, you're getting moved regardless whether you like it or not. But if Spider says no to the extension, Garland stays, Spider goes. Then you go to the center position. And I keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Before the season started, I said I would keep Evan Mobley. I'd trade Jared Allen. Then Jared Allen against Orlando played really, really great basketball. Dominated the paint. Mobley was... But then Jared Allen gets hurt. Evan Mobley, especially game 5, goes off. And then I'm like, well, I think you should keep Evan Mobley. Now I'm backtracking a little bit. Because it depends on who the coach is. Folks, if I am Cleveland, there is one name that I will call. Someone that is coached in the NBA. Someone that has a track record of developing young players. A coach that has been on the bench with a championship level coach who can be like Mike Brown, which is be a head coach, then go work on a championship bench like the Warriors, learn some of that split action that they run offensively and bring it to your own team. Folks, the name is Kenny Atkinson. Every time there is a job with a young core that needs to take the next step, I always think of Kenny Atkinson. Look at what he did in Brooklyn. And they haven't been the same since he left. Kyrie and KD went there because of the culture. The culture was Kenny Atkinson because he developed, ready for this, a center named Jared Allen. But Kenny Atkinson had developed a guard, ready for this, named Caris LeVert. He developed D'Angelo Russell. He developed Spencer Dinwiddie. He has a track record with young guys. So he's got the skill development piece that can develop more Jared Allen if you want to keep him. If you trade him, he can develop an Evan Mobley. He can work with young guys like an Isaac Okoro to get his game to the next level. And if you trade a Darius Garland or a Donovan Mitchell or Evan Mobley or Jared Allen, you're going to get young pieces back on the rebuild. So you need a guy that can develop players. Oh, I'll give you one other player to think about. Anybody remember Linsanity? Who was his position coach? Who was the guy that went to D'Antoni and say, play Jeremy Lin? It was Kenny Atkinson. Kenny Atkinson would be my choice to lead the Cleveland Cavaliers, tear it down, start over. That guy can win, that guy can develop players, and that guy can build culture. Kenny Atkinson should be the first name, the second name, and the last name that the Cleveland Cavaliers go after. Remember, he got hired by Charlotte, and he backed out. This is the job. Kenny Atkinson to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's move on to the Western Conference Finals, in which Game 1 was seized by Dallas in a 108-105 win. And Lord have mercy, I've been telling y'all, at some point, Kyrie was coming. Kyrie was coming. And folks, Kyrie done showed up and showed out. 30 points, 24 points in the first half, and really got, I'm going to just say it, he put the Mavs on his damn back. And he said, come with me. I am going to be the one that I'm going to take us there, because at that point, Luka was not playing well. They got into the pick and roll game. They got Kyrie to his spot. And Kyrie went to town in that first half. But what's so great about Dallas is, as great as Kyrie was in the first half, shooting 11 of 14 from the floor, the second half, it got flipped. And then it went to Luka. As Kyrie did not play well in the second half, shooting 1 of 9 from the floor, right? Still had 4 rebounds and 3 assists. Luka done woke up and gave you 19, 5, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff, 2 for 4 from the three-point land. And this is why Dallas becomes such a dangerous team. Because they got 2 dudes that can go get a bucket. And that's what's amazing about what I saw, is they could trade who's Batman and who's Robin. Kyrie had been Robin the whole last series versus Oklahoma City until the second half of Game 6, and he started to assert himself offensively. It carried over, and that becomes a major problem. Speaking of major problems, you know who was a major problem? Derek Lively II. Now, I messed up. I went on Pharrell Coast to Coast, and I said under 6.5 rebounds. I got this whole thing wrong. 9 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, a plus 19. You look at what Lively and Gafford gave you, and you want to just put them together, right? The two of them, right, gave you 19 points, 20 rebounds, 3 blocks versus Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert, who ended up with 12 points and 7 rebounds and became relatively ineffective in his 37 minutes. So the big thing I would do if I were Jason Kidd is I would keep the lineup the same. By the way, line is out. Minnesota, minus 5.5. Over under 207.5. I would keep the starting lineup the same, but I would make sure that Derek Lively and them young legs get you about 25 to 30 minutes a night because I liked what I saw. Now, for Minnesota, let's be honest. They lost a tight game by 3. And Kat shot 6 of 20, and Ant shot 6 of 16. And they didn't get out in transition and run and play with more pace. But I'm going to tell you this right now. If you just think this is just going to be an easy series, I got nothing coming for you. This is going 7. Because they're getting contributions from other guys that have stepped up. They got great contributions by who is becoming one of the best. Let me take this back. Who may be the best 3-and-D guy in the NBA right now, and Jaden McDaniels. 6 of 9 from 3. 24 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Right? You got great play out of the pride of St. Anthony High School in Jersey City. Kyle Slow-Mo Anderson, 5 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3, 11 points. And then speaking of Jersey, Jersey stand up. I already gave Kyrie his flowers. I just gave Slow-Mo his. Let's go to Asbury, right around the corner from me. Naz Reid, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. I would look to start looking at Naz Reid's points props because I think with the pick and roll game and getting Rudy Gobert in trouble with that, I think you got to go to Naz a little bit more. 37 minutes for Gobert in game number 1. 24 for Naz. I think this is going to go more Naz Reid should be in about the 28, 29 minute. So I think he takes some of the minutes away from Rudy. Although they could also play Naz with Gobert and make Naz the 4. It's going to be an intriguing series, folks. It's going to be so intriguing. I fully expect Minnesota to win game 2. I think they covered the spread. I think this is 1-1 heading to Dallas. And buckle up, folks. The East may not be a great series. But I tell you this much. The West will be. And it will go 7 games. Let's move on to the W. When, if you bring up the MVP odds, everybody in the WNBA looks at the W and says, Asia Wilson, Alyssa Thomas, Breanna Stewart. Now, it's interesting here is that Asia Wilson as an even money favorite to win MVP. Folks, that's going to be solely based off the fact that she didn't win it last year. Stewie won it. And you could argue that it should have went to Asia Wilson. You could argue that. Second is Miss Walking Triple-Double, Alyssa Thomas, who's at 5.5-1 to be the MVP. And I think when you look at Alyssa Thomas and the way she plays, It's she builds stats, but she also plays for the best defensive team. Now, I'm a little concerned that as Breonna Jones starts to get going, her rebounding prop is going to come down. Her stats are going to come down. Third is Stewie. Stewie was second. Now she's third. And that's going to be because she hasn't gotten off to the start that she has, but that's because of Sabrina's playing well, J.J. Jonquel Jones, another walking double-double, is playing well. Menage Laney Hamilton's doing her thing. Vandersloot, they don't need Stewie to put up the huge numbers. But if Matt could pull up this girl right here, this is the sleeper pick. Nafisha Collier. Y'all know about Nafisha Collier? Look at these stats to start the year. 24.5 points per game, 10.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 2 blocks. shooting 40% from three. You got to realize, first things first, Nafisha Collier comes from the Blue Blood program. That is UConn. A Nafisha Collier, that's a three-time WNBA All-Star, two-time WNBA All-Defensive Second Team, Rookie of the Year, first-team All-WNBA last year, second team in 2020. Folks, she can absolutely ball. You got to remember that Nafisha Collier missed the 2022 season due to the birth of her daughter. She played four games in 2022. And then she came back last year, and she balled out, getting you 21.5, 8.5, 2.5 assists, 1.6 steals, 1.2 blocks. Now the fact of the matter is Nafisha now is a year out with the kid, with her daughter, right? Nafisha Collier is a stat stuffer. A Nafisha Collier, folks, when the WNBA season started, they were 45, I think they were plus 4,500 to win the WNBA title. They're already down to plus 4,000. They went from like the second or third worst odds in the WNBA. Right now, today, they have the fifth best odds to win the WNBA championship. They also have Cheryl Reese, who's one of the best coaches in the history of the WNBA. You don't know about it? Go look it up. Nafisha Collier can score in many different ways, inside, outside. She can dish the pill. She can shoot it from three. She can rebound. She can lead the break, and she makes her free throws. Folks, value play right now. Nafisha Collier, it was at 11-1. She's now at 13-1, 12-1. Right now in FanDuel, right this second, she's at 13-1 to win the WNBA MVP. And they got a little sleeper underneath there too, named Kalia Cockburn, a.k.a. Walking Bucket. That's another girl that could score and score at will. Asia Wilson probably wins the WNBA Most Valuable Player. But if you want a value play, it's surely on Nafisha Collier. And if you want to put a couple of pennies on Kalia Copper, a.k.a. Walking Bucket, I ain't mad at you one bit. Last thing with the WNBA before I move on. FanDuel, I just pulled it up, had an interesting thing. Odd. Indiana Fever to make the playoffs is minus 188. Not to make the playoffs, plus 146. Caitlin Clark's been good, and we'll talk about her next week. But right now, they got problems scoring. I would take the plus 146 for the Indiana Fever not to make the WNBA playoffs based on right now. Let's end today's podcast by talking about the NBA draft. The NBA had their lottery, and I wanted to give you guys my top five picks in reverse order. I'll give them to you, and I'll talk about real quick why. Number five, I have Detroit selecting Reed Sheppard. Number four, the San Antonio Spurs selecting Nikola Topic. At number three, I have Houston taking the big man from UConn, Donovan Clingan. At number two, I have the Washington Wizards taking Zachary Richier. And number one, the perimeter favorite to go number one, I have Atlanta to take Alex Sarr. And let's start with Reed Sheppard, a guy that I think would fit in perfectly in Detroit. Why? I don't think Cade and Jaden Ivey work. I'm going to say it. I wouldn't be surprised if Jaden Ivey either becomes an elite sixth man or Jaden Ivey gets moved. I like Reed Sheppard to slide into that spot. And Reed Sheppard is a tremendous shooter. I can play off the ball. Doesn't need the ball in his hands to create. Can spot up knockdown shots, kind of like a Dante DiVincenzo is for New York. Reed Sheppard, number five to Detroit. Number four, Nikola Topic. Why? They need a point guard. Listen, I like Trey Jones. I love his brother, Tyus. But you got to upgrade the point guard spot. And I think this is a spot where if San Antonio doesn't trade this pick, because you know they got 4-9, to go get Trey Young or to go get Darius Garland. If they keep the pick, look at them to take a point guard. Nikola Topic is the best pure point guard. They have other great guards in this draft, including a guy like a Rob Dillingham. But I think the big thing to look at right there is Nikola Topic as a point guard, big guard, smart, athletic, can push the pace. I like him with a young Wembanyama-led team. I would look at Nikola Topic, number four, to San Antonio. Number three, Donovan Clingan. Hear me out. You're like, wait a minute. You got Alperen Şengün, coach's favorite guy. Oh, I love me some Alperen Şengün. But Alperen Şengün gets beat up defensively. I was realizing this towards the end of the season, especially as he's showing his range. Alperen Şengün is a four, not a five in the NBA. Gets beat up too much. So I take Donovan Clingan and kind of make them the modern day Cat Gobert. Now, I'm not saying Alperen Şengün is Cat because he doesn't shoot like Cat. But he's a far better passer than Cat. And you can play high-low with Donovan Clingan, who is an elite shot blocker and rebounder. And then from there, what you could do is you could try and trade someone like a Jabari Smith, because I don't think he's a three, and you could upgrade your roster with your depth. Number three, Donovan Clingan to the Houston Rockets. Number two, Zachary Richier. For now. This kid is a walking bucket. He can score the ball. He probably is the best pure shooter in the draft. And he is someone that is so intriguing at 6'10". And he just had a great performance over the weekend. So it's someone that I'm really curious about. You can play Richier with Kyle Kuzma as that 3-4. But I've been thinking, I would take Richier number one over Sarr. Because Sarr kind of reminds you of a Jaren Jackson Jr. I think Richier is a pure bucket getter and a scorer. And I think Richier as a small forward, now you could take Richier, play him with Jalen Johnson in the front court, with probably Capella, unless you trade Capella. But then DeAndre Hunter is one of the better 3-and-D guys. Now becomes expendable and can get traded and can get you assets. I think Trey's gone. I think DeJounte Murray's played down the stretch. I think they need a fresh start. I think Trey's got some baggage with him about coaches. So I think DeJounte Murray to the point, get a better two guard, Bogdanovich off the bench. I'm now flipping it. Zachary Richier at the three, Jalen Johnson four, Okongwu Capella at the five. I already changed my top five. Don't worry, folks. It won't be the last time. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast. For all things sports gambling, go download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. And also the home of my WNBA scouting report, which will be posted nightly only on the app. Next week, we'll get into JJ Redick to coach LeBron, Caitlin Clark, what's going on, my top five after the transfer portal madness. So much to discuss. Former producer Matt George, Vinny with the graphics. Thank you so much for listening to episode 55. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.